This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, October 6th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Bruno and Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across our great nation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Wednesday, we always remind you that this is the traditional day dedicated to Saint Joseph, something we always think about here, especially in this year of Saint Joseph and even in this month in which we respect the dignity of all human life. We invoke Saint Joseph. Also, remember that every day is a blessing, and we'll have much more about that topic a little later in the show. I also want to remind you that we're less than 2 months away from the Advent season. Can you believe it? Christmas will be here before you know it. It's amazing. This Advent, let's boldly proclaim Christ in our neighborhoods. Relevant Radio wants to give you and your family a beautiful hand-painted nativity set for your long. You can sign up at relevantradio.com/nativity to win one of only 200 nativity sets valued at over $500. Let's make this Christmas a Christmas to remember by making room for Christ inside our hearts and outside of our homes. There's only 9 days left. The clock is ticking, so you only have until midnight Central Time, October 15th, to sign up. Do it right now. Register at relevantradio.com/nativity. I want to check in with my colleague, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has spoken out with lots of pushback against the whistleblower. What's going on, Glenn?
Well, Congress wants to hear from Mr. Zuckerberg now. The whistleblower had their say yesterday, claiming the social media giant put profits over the safety of users, including kids. And Mr. Zuckerberg responded on his Facebook page, a lengthy response saying, "All of those claims are just not true." He stressed that he spent a lot of time reflecting on the kinds of experience he wants his own children and others to have online. He says everything that they build is safe and good for kids. The words of Mark Zuckerberg there.
He's trying to defend all the documents that were found by the whistleblower, basically saying that this is just not a true picture of what Facebook is all about.
You know, again, when broadcasting started almost 100 years ago, there wasn't regulation at first, and eventually the FCC kind of put the clamp down on many things that could be broadcast. And I think this type of thing might lead to a little bit more limits on social media.
Absolutely. And that's an issue that we'll have to keep an eye on, because I'm sure that parents especially are very interested in what goes on with this. Turning to something a little lighter, sports, Major League Baseball, big night last night at Fenway Park. Xander Bogaerts blasted a home run for the Boston Red Sox, who beat the Yankees 6-2 in the American League wildcard game. We actually have the highlight courtesy of ESPN.
Xander is 5-for-24 with one homer against Gerrit Cole. Here's the pitch, and he swings and drives one to center field and deep. Gardner going back, looking up. Goodbye, home run, Xander Bogaerts. 2-0 Red Sox.
There you go, Glenn. And for me, as a longtime suffering Cub fan, it was a little fun to see Kyle Schwarber of the Red Sox also hit one out, the former Cub, and as well as Anthony Rizzo, another former Cubby on the Yankee side, who hit a long one.
Yeah, you had Cubs batting leadoff, former Cubs batting leadoff for both teams last night. And for the Boston fans, a little revenge from that 1978 one-game playoff where the Yanks, Bucky Dent, hit a home run to end it for the Sox that year. But the postseason continues, and it's going to be a tough job now for the Red Sox facing the Tampa Bay Rays.
Absolutely. The Rays are going to be quite a challenge, so that'll be really interesting. And tonight, the National League wildcard game will be going on at Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine. Ravine, the Cardinals against the Dodgers.
You know, Dodgers' second-best record in all of baseball and still having to go through the wild card process to keep moving ahead. And they may well do that, but the Cardinals have been so hot in the latter part of the season here, John.
Absolutely. So we will definitely be keeping an eye on that. Unfortunately, I get up super early, so I usually miss the ending. So I have to find out about it first thing in the morning. So it's a lot of fun. Thanks as always, Glenn.
Hey, sweet dreams, John.
Thanks. We begin every day and every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and of relevant radio, pray for us, St. Joseph. In this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up shortly, we'll be joined by our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. He'll join us to talk about the case for the divinity of Christ and how to explain the Holy Trinity. And Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, he'll be with us a little bit later to discuss making the most of every day that we are given. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more coming up this hour here on the show. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Philippians 2, 10 and 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is what Relevant Radio is all about, our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing Christ to the world through the media. Let's meditate on the powerful and holy name of Jesus. We always need to reflect on his name. It can be something as simple during the day as praying, Jesus, help me, or praying the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants us to know his infinite ocean of mercy, something that we were reminded of yesterday on the Feast of St. Faustina. All we have to do is pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about an issue that my producer, Mariano Gomez, suggested because of a recent conversation that he had while in a taxi ride to the studio with a Muslim cab driver. He said that the Muslim cabbie was very polite, but he was also very inquisitive, very curious. One thing Mariano told me was that he said that the Muslims believe that the Bible is true. They believe what it has to say, but they see Christ as a prophet, not as the Son of God. So the question for us as Catholics is, what is the evidence for the divinity of Christ and the Holy Trinity? How can we give an answer for our faith when someone challenges us, especially from a different religion? Now joining us to talk about the case for the divinity of Christ and how to explain the Holy Rosary, and excuse me, the Holy Trinity, I should say, and our spiritual director today is Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and of course, a Relevant Radio regular contributor. Good morning, Father Tyone. Great to be with you once again.
And good morning to you. Great to be with you as well. It's a great topic this morning because I think having conversations with Muslims and people of especially non-Christian backgrounds can help us come to know Christ and proclaim Christ. You talked about that being the purpose of Relevant Radio, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Absolutely. I thought it was very interesting, as Mariano shared with me, his conversation with this Muslim cabbie driver. And this is something that can happen to us, you know, on any given day, we'll run into somebody who might ask a question about our faith. And especially when we're speaking to our Muslim brothers and sisters, how can we begin to make the case for Christ? After all, Muslims consider it idolatry to worship Jesus. They think of him as merely a prophet.
That's right. He's a prophet, and they believe that Mary is the mother of a prophet. I have a statue of Mary in my backyard here, given to me by a priest chaplain that served in Iraq. And he left the statue of Mary outside the chapel, the Catholic chapel, and he said Muslims did, you know, even though they don't have statues, they admired Mary as the mother of Jesus. So he left it outside on purpose so he would engage in conversations with Muslim interpreters and people in there assisting the Americans. And he said it was fascinating because that was a doorway into conversation about how Jesus is God or they believe he's not God. So even Mary is a great bridge. And we're talking about the month of the Rosary and pro-life month, but we can't also underestimate Mary's power to conversations, to witnessing that Jesus is God. So we believe, of course, in the Trinity. How do we know that? From Jesus himself, from the Gospels, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Last night we had RCIA in my parish, and these people came in off the streets, all kinds of people, some of no religious background, some unbaptized, and curious about and attracted to Jesus as the Son of God. So obviously a great difference between us and Muslims that they don't call God Father. He's Allah. Muhammad is the greatest prophet in their tradition. We respect their beliefs, but also I think conversations with Muslims can help us understand much more succinctly the Trinity, that we believe is one substance but three persons. Let's say that again, three distinct persons but one God, one substance. We say that in the Creed every Sunday. We kind of glide through those words, but it's a great time. If you listen to this program, maybe open up the Catholic Catechism, go to a faithful Catholic website, and study the doctrine of the Trinity, because that will help us in conversations in taxi cabs, at the airport, maybe with people unchurched and unbaptized or totally, you know, the anonymous Christian, the person that's baptized and knows very little about Jesus, that are all around us today. So these kind of conversations can help us grow closer to Christ, but also can help us witness and evangelize, to be certain.
And Father Tyone, I think it's important to do our defense of our faith, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of even our Blessed Mother, but to do it with lots of charity and respect for the other person. After all, our Muslim friends, you know, they have their beliefs, and it can be very, very difficult to convince them, and you might not even try specifically to convince them, just present the truth of our faith, because there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what we believe of Jesus Christ.
No question about that. I had a deep and powerful experience in Rome. There was a waiter there from Morocco. His name was Mourad. This is like 30 years ago. And he wanted to learn English. We both had French as a common language. So he would come to the North American College every couple of weeks. And I was teaching him. And he was deeply spiritual and religious, like a very peace-filled, holy man. Obviously a faithful Muslim, but had his kids in Catholic school, was sort of open to sort of not living in a closed Muslim culture, but a beautiful man. And at some points after a few months, you know, he told me he was sad because Catholics were coming in the restaurant. He knew that Catholics weren't supposed to eat meat on Fridays in Lent. Somehow he knew that. And it said it made him sad that they weren't faithful to their faith. And then at one point, he looked at the crucifix in my room, you know, and he said, "And your prophet. And then I explained to him that we thought and believed and knew that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God, not just a prophet. And I'll never forget this. His eyes welled up, and he was sort of touched by love that, I mean, a suffering God so close. He got very, very teary-eyed and was sort of like blown away in his brain that we thought Jesus was God. And no one had really told him that. Because he thought Jesus was a prophet, a suffering prophet. And so this was a profound moment. I've lost contact with him over the years, but I remember it was sort of like he had his own kind of Trinity Sunday. You know, whether he came to faith or not, I'll never know about that. But it was a profound moment where I thought both of us, sincere in our religions, were sharing, and he just was just shocked that the crucifix, that we think that's the Son of God. And I don't forget that. It was helpful to me. It was powerful for me. And I think those kind of honest discussions back and forth, we share what we believe with our Muslim brothers and sisters and others, but we also witness to Christ. And we can do that in very loving, kind ways. Again, I had a great friendship with him for many years. One of my favorite parts of seminary was my time with him, and we would, it was just extraordinary. But I think you're right. We need, I find talking to a non-believer, we have to be ready, sort of ready to just witness, as you said, use that word witness to Jesus Christ. And witness means we witness, we tell everyone who he is, that he is God and that the Son of God. And we have to be ready. I think the Trinity obviously befuddles people. It's a true doctrine. It's a mystery of God's love. Trinity lives in us in our baptism. So our God comes close to us. Our God's vulnerable. Even in the host, God becomes vulnerable. So this great, vulnerable, loving, merciful God that we know to be the true Trinity, the true God revealed. And we need to sort of, I think, get the vocabulary down and be comfortable in our own Catholic skin and theology to be able to engage those that are either, again, not understanding the natures of Christ, those that don't sort of maybe grown lukewarm or even distant from God or the church. And that's why this topic today is so helpful for us. And I'm glad very much that Mariano had that Muslim taxi driver, because I think that it's a wake-up call in a positive way to be able to converse about Christ. In this world we live in, secularizing and westernizing and material world and social media world, we need to be gentle, be kind, be respectful, be loving, but also be truthful about the Lord. And so I challenge myself and all of us today to kind of dig in a little bit in our study and our practice, and even talking to other Catholics like we are today. You and I are talking, how can we do this better? And I think we need to do that in our parishes and at the dinner tables, and especially with other people that love Christ and worship him. We need to sort of help each other kind of do this in a more effective and in a more witnessing way.
Father Tayo, we know as Catholics that the evidence for the divinity of Christ is powerful from Scripture, from history, just from so many different ways, as well as the evidence for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's very difficult to convey that to someone who doesn't believe in the authenticity of the Bible, of the Christian Bible, especially somebody who's coming from an Islamic background and believes in the Quran.
Exactly. So, you know, Muslims believe the Quran, you know, God dictated the Quran to Muhammad kind of altogether, whereas the Judeo, the Jewish, Hebrew, and New Testament scriptures, you know, God has put together our Bible, and the authority of the church, of the Catholic Church, the Apostolic Church, did decide which Gospels are canonical or authentically to be, you know, in the churches on Sundays, even before, way before in the first centuries. And so we know that our scriptures are put together by God, by the gift of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, is critical to Catholics. That's when the church was given an authority over scripture and tradition. And the scriptures are authentic. One of the things I like to tell people, you know, all we know, Christ was crucified historically. No one could ever deny that. Non-Christians, historians can confirm that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified in Jerusalem. There is no doubt about that historically. His resurrection is a testament to faith. But I like to go to people and say, you know, all these people, after this encounter with the risen Jesus, all of them, very much most of them were martyred, were crucified themselves or martyred or beheaded without any fear of death, after they were also afraid. And we know historically they existed. And, you know, it wasn't one person, but so many that Christ appeared to, who all of a sudden would want nothing else but him to be known, and were no longer afraid to even die or even suffer and be tortured for love of Jesus. So I think that's a great way to witness, too. I think kind of the factual witnesses of our first witnesses can help people be attracted to Jesus.
And Father Tayon, even once you establish that Jesus is God, try to explain the Holy Trinity. I mean, even for some Catholics, it's something that's so difficult to understand, because it is, after all, a mystery. How do you explain one God in three persons, especially to a Muslim?
Well, and that's the glory. Again, I go back to my friend Murad. As soon as I told him the Trinity, that when he looked at my crucifix and I said, that's God, his eyes filled with love, not a fear. And I'll never forget that. I think the human heart can be drawn to such vulnerable power, a God who is all-powerful, who became man. And if Jesus did that for us, that's a powerful love. People are attracted to love. And so the Trinity is love. And I think we need to be confident in that, in sharing that. And that will attract people to, because it is true. So the truth attracts. And we need to just be committed, be loving, be humble, but also just say who he is. And the Holy Spirit's present, too, in those moments. So we need to do that. And We will never understand the Trinity. We have to experience the Trinity, live the Trinity's love, and accept the words of Scripture authority, the Church, and this powerful gift of the seven sacraments that the Lord's given us to stay with us. And, you know, isn't it great? The Trinity, God is not alone in himself. He's one, but never alone. And that's the human desire. We don't want to be alone, and certainly not forever, and certainly not here now today. And we're not alone because the Trinity, God himself, has welcomed us into Trinitarian life, and we've been consumed into his own self-giving love, and that's what this is about. Jesus is about the revelation and encounter with self-giving love, and that's a God that's attractive to anybody, especially those that don't know who God is or might have another idea. I think once they hear, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful.
I appreciate your perspective, Father Tyone. I think it's important for us as Catholics to study our faith, to know what the Scriptures say, to know what the Catechism says, but at the same time, to be able to defend it with charity and clarity whenever that opportunity comes up. Thank you so much, as always, Father Tyone, for being with us.
Have a blessed day, and thank you, Mariano. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer will be with us on the other side to discuss making the most of every day that we are giving. He has an absolutely powerful story, so stay tuned. Do stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Minutes after the hour, as Morning Air continues, I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll have yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Now I want to talk about making the most of every day we are given. This is a topic that is really personal with me. In fact, I've been wearing a little rubber bracelet for a number of years. I'm not even sure how long I've been wearing it, that says every day is a gift. I never, ever take it off. For me, this is a reminder of the many blessings that we have and that no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour when the good Lord will call us or one of our loved ones home. And that's why this is a never-ending reminder that every day truly is a gift. Joining us now with more perspective to making the most of every day we are given is our regular contributor, Harry Kramer. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Harry. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Always great to be with you, John. Always great.
Professor Harry, I was so moved. I was almost brought to tears reading your article on your website at harrykramer.org titled Make the Most of Every Day We Are Given. It was a beautiful article. I just want to begin by asking you for your inspiration, motivation for writing this article.
I appreciate that, John. It was a little emotional because I had a very good friend. It was actually one of my colleagues, and he was also a student at Kellogg. And we had gone to a couple of Cub games, and I told him that my daughter was going to be getting married, and it'd be great to have him come to the wedding, and he was all excited. And then he went on a trip, and then 2 days before the wedding, and I'd been trading emails with him while he was gone, saying he was looking forward to coming back. And then 2 days before the wedding, I got a call from his sister saying that that he had had an aneurysm and he died, and I literally felt listening. I felt like the oxygen had been sucked out of the room, and I almost felt a little dizzy, John. I was like, wait a minute, no, this guy, no, he's a young guy. How could? And then I just said a prayer and realized you know, the reality is, as you just said, every day is a gift. And it's so easy just to say that, John, without understanding. But if you literally pray and you really are self-reflective and think, every day is a gift, and nobody listening to us, John, has any idea whether today's their last day or not. And I don't view it in a negative way because, you know, hopefully we'll all be able to spend eternity with Christ. But the reality of it is, every day is a gift. Never, never forgetting that, I think, is something what we're all called to do as Christians.
Professor Harry, when did you first become aware of that phrase, make the most of every day? This goes way back for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, John. In fact, I remember this as something that one of the Jesuits mentioned when I first went on my very first retreat when I was a student at Kellogg at the Jesuit Retreat House in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I was on my very first three-day silent retreat. And as you know, John, when you take 3 days and there's no phones, no laptops, no nothing, and you really just have that and you got a Bible and you take some walks and listen to a couple of talks by the Jesuits, that's the only thing you hear, it really does put things into perspective. In fact, John, one that you'll appreciate, given your comment about every day is a gift, once in a while students will say to me, how do you think about this when you say every day is a gift? And here's the crazy way I think about this, John. It may sound a little morbid, but I don't feel it that way. It'd be a little bit like, John, you and I are having this conversation now, and all of a sudden I say, oh, John, hold on a minute. I get a call from my doctor. And I pick up the phone, and my doctor says, hey, Harry, I sit down. I just want to let you know you can do what you want to do, but I'm just letting you know. I just looked at your results. And the bottom line, Harry, is tomorrow is your last day. And that's it. I mean, you're going to die tomorrow. Now, my feeling as I tell students, John, is I think 99% of people, if they heard that, immediately it's like, oh, whoa, I need to do this, I need to do that. I pray that my reaction, John, and I think about this a lot, is, well, thank you, doctor, thank you. But I knew tomorrow's my last day. Because if you think about it, every one of us, there is going to be a last day, and you don't know whether it's tomorrow or not. So why wouldn't you live every day, John, how you treat people, how you think about your life, what you think about that God would want you to do? Why wouldn't you treat every day as your last day? Because at the end of the thing, it always could be, and you don't know. So in my mind, it makes life very simple, right? We all make mistakes. We all sin. So if I mistreated you today, and when I do my prayers at night, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, I didn't treat John well today. Well, I'm going to call you right away because I'm not going to wait till tomorrow because I may not have tomorrow. And I think that mindset has an enormous impact, I think, on how you live your life.
Without a doubt. That's why I think that this topic is so important. And I hope our listeners are listening carefully, because I think that what we're talking about here is something that everybody should really take to heart. Just, Professor, just think about it. We just recently passed the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Can you imagine all those people that morning who had no idea when they kissed their wife goodbye or they kissed their husband goodbye and headed to work in Manhattan that day, that would be it. They would never see their loved ones ever again. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, or the people that have been struck by hurricanes and floods, and you just never know what's going to happen on any given day. We have to have that attitude that every day is a gift, and we have to make the most of every single day.
Yeah. Well, and the other way of thinking about it, John, is the idea, think about the number of times you hear somebody say, well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Well, wait a minute. If you say, hey, you know what? It could be anything, John. You say, oh, you know what? My parents are getting older. I should spend more time with them. You know what? I'll do that next month. I'll do that next month. Or, you know, hey, this weekend, my daughter mentioned that, you know, she'd like to go on a bike ride. Well, you know, I'm supposed to be going golfing. You know, I'll do that next week. You may not have next week. And literally thinking about what really, really matters, John. You know, what are my values? What is my purpose? What really matters? And I think, John, sometimes we get so busy, we don't really take the time to think about what does matter.
Absolutely. I think procrastination can so easily set in. It's so easy to put things off. Oh, I'll call my mom tomorrow. I'll call her over the weekend, or I'll call my cousin next week. And then next week never comes. And sometimes we so much regret that we didn't take action when we were thinking about it.
No, I just love talking to you because we think about this in a very similar way. I can remember, both of my parents passed away several years ago in their 80s, and they lived blessed lives. But I can remember, John, when you talk about putting this in action, I think for the last 10 years of their life, I literally tried to call them every couple of days. And whenever I would think, oh, well, you know what, I could take this trip to New York, I thought, you know what, if I took this trip to New York, and I may take the trip, if this is their last weekend, did I see them last weekend and I feel really good about that? Or am I going to be one of these many, many people, John, that when I do go to New York and I don't spend it and they pass, oh, you know what? I should have spent time with them. I should. Wait a minute. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean, either do it or don't talk about it. And think about what the implications of where you're spending your time.
Professor Harry, on a personal note, my mom, bless the Lord, is still with us. She's 93, just recently moved into the nursing home portion of the Little Sisters of the Poor here in the Chicago area in Lincoln Park. And I try to see her on a regular basis. And every time I see her, I always give her a kiss and a hug and always keep in mind that could be the last time I ever see her. So I really have been taken to heart what you're talking about here in this segment.
Yeah, and it works, John. If you think about it, it works on all dimensions, right? I have Julie and I are blessed to have five children, and think about the people you and I know, John, where they think to themselves, "Well, I should spend time with the children, but you know what? I need to go golfing. I need to go to the game." And all of a sudden, I'll meet one of these people, and I'll say, "How you doing?" "Oh, well, I'm just surprised." "John, what are you surprised by?" "Well, my oldest daughter, she left for college. I can't believe she was 18 already." And I often will tease myself saying, "Wait a minute, when that little girl was 8, did you not realize that 10 years later, and it would happen pretty quickly, she'd be 18, and she's not going to be living with you anymore? Why are you surprised?" And that's, you notice, John, I always sort of tease whenever somebody says, it's another way I think about this. Every time, John, literally, when somebody says to me, "Oh, Harry, I'm surprised," I always think to myself, "I'm surprised they're surprised." I mean,
sure.
what are you surprised about? Okay? I mean, time goes by.
Absolutely. I know the feeling. I love your advice to self-reflect, to think about what is your purpose? What are your values? What really matters? In fact, I want to ask that very questions to our listeners and invite our listeners. If you want to share your own experience of making the most of every day that we are giving, or if you have a question or comment for Professor Harry Kramer, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I'll send an SOS to the world. I'll send an SOS.
Six minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we are continuing our conversation about making the most of every day that we are given with Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be back, John.
For the folks that may have missed the first part of our conversation, can you kind of give us a real quick recap of your good friend Jim Kouris and how he reminded you of the phrase, make the most of every day?
Yeah, no, John, it was
we had gone to a couple of Cub games, and I invited him to my wedding, but he was out of town for a couple weeks, and I was really looking forward to exchanging some messages, and then all of a sudden I get this phone call from his sister basically saying, oh, Harry, you know, Jim died this morning, and, you know, he's not going to be coming to the wedding. And it was like, wait a minute, no, that's just not possible. I mean, I just talked to him, I just saw him, and, you know, I got an email from him yesterday. How could that possibly be? And that comment that you and I make, John, is that, you know, every day is a gift. I wrote that down after I heard you say that earlier, and, you know, make the most of every day, because you never know how many days you have. You never know.
Absolutely. In fact, if you'd like to share your own experiences of making the most of every day that we are given, if this is something that really touches your heart and you want to share how you feel about every day being a gift, give us a call. Or if you have a question or comment for Professor Harry Kramer, our number 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We have some open lines, so you'll be able to get on real quickly. Professor Harry, talk about a little bit of how your good friend Jimmy was an example for you as a person who really lived life to the fullest.
Oh, I have to say, John, I get almost emotional. I mean, this was a fellow who was always smiling. In fact, I use the expression, John, you know, some people you say, oh, their cup is half full or half empty. This fellow's cup was overflowing. You know, he didn't have that much money. Things always in his life didn't go well. He had some personal crisis, but every time you saw him, he'd always be smiling. And even though the guy didn't have much money, if he got together with 10 people at a restaurant, he's, oh, give me the bill. Give me the bill here. It was never about Jim. It really was. It was funny. His son and daughter had a little reception to celebrate his life. I guess it was last week, and about 300 people came, and the comment that somebody mentioned, which so summarized it up, John, they said, every one of these 300 people here think that they were Jim's best friend. I mean, he was just overflowing. I mean, just setting a really, really good example for how all of us ought to live. And it's, so as you know, John, it's always easy to complain about this or complain about that, or, you know, I had to wait 15 minutes to in line. Okay, no, every day is a gift. Enjoy every day. And it was funny when people say to me, oh, well, wait a minute, Harry, when you say, you know, make every day, it could be your last day, that's a little negative. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, if I'm a Christian, how could every day, my last day, be a bad day if I'm thinking about eternal life? Because, you know, this is all fun now, but, you know, this is all very temporary. I mean, very, very temporary. I tell people all the time, I think, well, geez, wait a minute, think about this now. Am I 30, John? Am I 31? No, I'm 66 years old. No, I still work out, I run, I spend time. I feel like I'm 30. No, I'm 66 years old. So realizing how fast that goes by. I don't know about you, John, but I feel like I was in college a few years ago. No, I was in college. It was 45 years ago. I mean, just really putting it in perspective and making the most of every day. Making the most of every day and realizing it's a gift. And I almost kind of think of it as, okay, what would God like me to do today? Okay, what would he like? How should I treat people? How is the glass half full or half empty? Attitude, as you know, John, is an enormous part of this.
Without a doubt. Attitude. I think attitude of gratitude, I think that really brings it home, the fact that we have to look at it through a spiritual perspective. I mean, any secular person, anybody can understand that every day is a gift. But to look at it from a Catholic Christian perspective, remembering the words of our Lord, that no one knows the day or the hour, how can we put our priorities in place? You know, God, our family, and then our vocation or profession.
Exactly. No, I think setting that kind of example, it's one of the reasons I love teaching, John. I mean, if I was, you know, I had been a chief financial officer at Baxter before I was the CEO, and, you know, I'm pretty good at finance, and I think to myself all the time, I tell Julie, if I was at Northwestern Kellogg now, you know, teaching finance, I'd do it for a year or two or whatever, and that'd be it. I'm hoping, I'm praying, John, I can teach the next 15 years, because, you know, I teach value-based leadership. I try to really get folks to think about, no kidding around, John, and I say it slowly, what are your values? What is your purpose? You know, what do you want to do with your time on earth? Is it just about monetary and success? or is it about significance? You know, I really get them to think about, you know, rather than spending a lot of time on your resume, how about spending a little bit of time thinking about, you know, what do you want your obituary to look like? And it's funny, John, I've been to a couple more funerals lately, and I always listen to the person who's given the eulogy. And I think in the back of my mind, you know what? When somebody does a eulogy for Harry Kramer, is it going to be, oh, he was this very successful business guy? Or is it, what kind of father was he? What kind of spouse was he? What kind of a Christian was he? And I think, again, Jack, we're all busy. We've all got a million things to do. We're all running around like crazy. But taking a little bit of time to slow down and say, you know, have I confused activity and productivity? Do I even know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it? And as terrible as this whole COVID situation is, I've talked to a lot of people, John, who would say, you know what, it's been terrible, it's been unbelievable, but I probably had dinner or lunch with my spouse and my children more in the last 18 months than I have in several years. So, again, the glass is half full. How do we do the best we can, John? And how do we take the time to help people every day that are a lot less fortunate than you and I are?
Absolutely. 888-914-9149. Jose is joining us from San Benito, Texas. Jose, welcome to Morning Air. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. I just want to say to you, your guest, and the public, that he is completely right. I mean, the last day my dad was alive, you know, in the morning, I felt this, you know, I got this feeling of giving him a good hug. You know, he was sick. He you could see it on his health, but it wasn't anything, you know, that we will expect to happen soon in a way. So that morning I woke up, I wanted to give him a hug, and I didn't. I went to work. When I came back to work from work, I found him laying in the floor, and he had a stroke, and he passed away soon after. I really wish I had given him that hug. I had told him how much I loved him, but I just didn't do it in time, you know. And that's a horrible feeling I have, and probably will have for the rest of my life. So to everybody out there, you know, listen to this gentleman here. You know, time is, it's passing by, it's flying. So please take your time to tell your loved ones you love them, because you never know if they're going to come back or they're going to be there when you come back, like it happened to me.
Jose, thank you so much for opening your heart and sharing with us. Our condolences on your father's passing in that manner. You know that we can always pray. You can always pray, continue to pray for him on the other side. He's gone home to the Lord. Harry, any thoughts?
Well, Jose, thank you so much for calling, and I know John and I will say some prayers for your dad, and as when John talks about the other side, what I'm well aware of is I can feel the love you have for your dad, Jose, and I know he had that for you, and the reality of life is the one thing we believe is it's a matter of time that, you know, you'll be with your dad again, and that'll happen at some point, and you guys can all be together again with your dad and your mom and relatives, and again, I really truly look forward to seeing my dad and mom again. I'm very much, and I know I'm going to bet, Jose, he's smiling down at you today. I got to believe he's smiling down at you today, waiting for you.
Jose, what was your father's name?
His name was Carlos.
Carlos. We will keep Carlos in our prayers. Thank you, Jose. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks, Jose. God bless.
Professor Harry, I believe it was St. John of the Cross who once said that at the end of our lives, the good Lord's going to judge us on how much we loved. Were we a person of love? And I think that at the end of the day, that's the end game.
I really do, John. I so believe it. And I think sometimes it's very easy, John, as you know, it's very easy to get confused. It's very easy, you know, to sometimes take a lot of the readings from the New Testament and what does this mean? I just love it when I think of it every day, John, when somebody asked Jesus and he simply said, at the end of the day, and this is my layman perspective on this, John, it's like, you know, it's actually pretty simple, right? There's really two things you have to do. You just have to love God with your whole heart and your whole mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And John, think about the world would be if every one of us could just do those two simple things. I mean, it's amazing how different the world would be. And rather than dealing with so much complexity and all these problems, wait a minute, no, let's keep this real simple. Love God with your whole heart and your whole mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow.
It sounds so simple, but it's very, very difficult to put into practice in real everyday life. Your students are blessed to be able to hear your teachings and words of wisdom, and I so much appreciate you sharing it with us here on Morning Air.
Well, John, take good care, my friend. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, and God bless you and your family, and we'll see you soon. You take good care.
Thanks so much, Professor. Thank you for being with us. For more, you can go to harrykramer.org and also on Facebook, Harry Kramer Jr. Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Do Not Enter. The story is told about the father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign that read, "Road Closed, Do Not Enter." The man proceeded around the sign because he was confident it would save them time. His wife was resistant to the adventure, but there was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his gift of discernment. His proud smile, though, was quickly replaced with humble sweats when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks to the main road. When they arrived at the original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Sometimes we can have utmost confidence in ourselves to figure out issues or fix problems, but we let ourselves down. Confidence is only as good as the object it's placed in. When going through life, the wise person places their confidence in an unchanging, all-powerful God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Powerful, powerful words from Scripture, something we all need to really take to heart. I want to remind you that you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or any of our Morning Air podcasts or any segment that you might want to share with others. Just download it at our Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. If you have a story idea, send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Here in the month of October, I want to encourage you to honor our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary, and pray the Rosary for Life this month with Father Rocky, for the family rosary across America, with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for Gabby Mariano, Sarah, the whole team, I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us. Remember, every day is a gift. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow.